Exodus 9, verses 13 to 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me, or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people, and I will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt. From that day, it will be founded until now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die.' Those officials of the Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand towards the sky, so that the hail will fall all over Egypt, on men, on animals, and everything growing in the fields of Egypt.' When Moses stretched out his staff towards the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down on everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. 'This time I have sinned,' he said to them. 'The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer.' Moses replied, 'When I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God.' The flax and the barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and the spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripened later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands towards the Lord, and the thunder and the hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he did not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses."
I wonder if you've heard anyone say, "You really can't believe in the God of the Old Testament." Perhaps a friend or a work colleague. And many times people will come to that conclusion and make such accusations against you. Richard Dawkins has said in his book, The God Delusion, "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction, jealous and proud of it." And tragically, it's a view that is held by many. And we can sometimes even think like this. We can sometimes be influenced to think like that. Now, why might that be? Possibly it is because we haven't seen that the Old and the New Testament are equally about the same God, and that is the God of grace. The God of grace. Grace, that's a wonderful gift, that wonderful generosity of God to sinners who are undeserving of his love. That truth is permeated throughout the Bible. And we discover it in the most surprising places. And we have one of those surprising places from our Old Testament reading tonight. Here in the 10 plagues or the 10 judgments on the Egyptians, we find grace. And the theme this evening is to celebrate the God of grace. If you've already done so, please turn to Exodus chapter 9. And here we have the seventh plague. The seventh plague of hail upon the Egyptians. And we are going to be surprised by the grace of God here. I think of the first nine plagues. This plague is something of the key one because it covers all the issues that we're now going to see that have actually been occurring in one or two of the other plagues. First, as we look at this passage together, God's unchanging mission of grace. God's unchanging mission of grace. What is God doing here? Well, God's people, the Israelites, are in prison. They are in captivity. They are being brutalized in slavery. They cannot escape. They cannot get free. They have nowhere to go. And even if there was somewhere to go, they would not be allowed to go there. But God has heard the cry of his people. And he is beginning his great act of rescuing them, of redeeming them, of setting them free. His aim is to free them from this captivity, from this slavery, to take them to a place where they can worship him. Chapter 9 and verse 13 says, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." And Pharaoh says, no. He doesn't want them to go. And he isn't persuaded by this God that he does not know. So Moses tells Pharaoh, verse 14, "Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues upon you." This time I will send the full force of my plagues upon you. What does that tell us? It tells us this, that God hasn't yet sent the full force of his plagues. And in fact, we discover in the next verse that he isn't even due at that now. For what could he have done? Look at verse 15. "By now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the face of this planet." You deserve being wiped off the planet, but I haven't done it yet. That's grace. Pharaoh is still there, and God has shown him grace, undeserved, loving mercy. And God hasn't done that, hasn't wiped him off the face of the planet, because there is a bigger picture. And what is that bigger picture? Well, as we read the Bible, we'll see the bigger picture is always God's glory in salvation. God's glory in salvation. Verse 16, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Pharaoh is in God's hands. And the Lord's purpose is to show grace. And that grace that is going to be shown isn't just to Pharaoh, isn't just to those Egyptians, isn't just even to his own people, but actually we're told here in the Old Testament, here in Exodus, here early on in the Old Testament, to all planet Earth, including you and me. God's unchanging mission or purpose is seen here. His name is to be proclaimed throughout all the earth. That is indeed grace to all the nations. World mission, you see, is in the centre, in the heart of God's purposes. And here is a challenge for all of us today, that world mission is to be every Christian's interest and concern. Thank you for your interest and concern and prayers for the work of GBM. Some think of heaven having different departments. And there in heaven is the world peace department. And there are thousands sweating away trying to bring about world peace. And then there is the social concern department. There are tens of thousands sweating away in that way. And then there is the church planting, where there are hundreds working away. And then there's world mission, which is staffed by about a handful. That's not the case. We might have that impression on earth, but actually there is only one department. It is the mission department. The mission department, that God's name might be proclaimed throughout all the earth. And there's a challenge for you and me that I want to bring to you this evening. Have we grasped this? Does this have an effect? When you're watching television, are you able to use that to pray? You're watching the news. You could well be seeing the great needs of salvation in our world because of sin in people's lives. Or are reading, as you read the newspaper and you read about different places of the world, praying for God's salvation to go there. Our interest, as you read the Herald magazine from GBM or other magazines that come from other mission agencies, and you read of what God is doing through those who have been sent by churches to go and reach the lost, or to help churches reach the lost across the world. Are praying? Do you pray every day? I'm sure you do. Do you pray every day for missionaries, for the work of mission and our giving? You know, when it affects our pockets, someone has said, it will soon affect our whole lives. There is a challenge for us. If God is so concerned that he says here to Pharaoh that my aim and purpose is that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth, then the Christian should take that same aim also. Our message, the Christian's message, is a message of grace and is about a great and wonderful rescue act. For where the Israelites need freeing to worship God, as we've seen in verse 13, as we bring that up to date today, all men, all women, all boys, all girls need rescuing to worship God. They need freeing. They need redeeming from their sin. This word redemption we see throughout the scripture, and we see it given in a great example here in the book of Exodus. You see, sin holds men and women and boys and girls fast and keeps them from God. It chains them in the same way that this people, the Israelites, were chained in Egypt. Men and women, boys and girls today are chained in spiritual Egypt. And God's grace is that he frees us through the power in Christ. God's mission is a grace mission. It's unchanging so that others might get grace, i.e. be saved. God's unchanging mission of grace. Secondly, God's unchanging character of grace. Yes, we've got a repeated theme here. We've got four of them. So it's God's unchanging. So we've had the mission of grace. Now we've got the character of grace. So the next plague is sent upon Pharaoh and the Egyptian slave masters. This time it's going to be a great storm. Its overriding characteristic will be great big lumps of hail. Destructive, powerful hail with thunder and lightning coming down. If you've ever been out in a large hailstorm, you know what it's like. It stings. It hurts. You actually want to shelter. It is worse than rain. And here is a catastrophe that is going on. And there was a clear warning. And that warning came in two ways. Verse 18 tells us that Moses said to Pharaoh, this time tomorrow. This time tomorrow. Not yet. Not now, not immediately, but on a set specified day, tomorrow. So here we are, 7:15 today. As if Moses said, 7:15 tomorrow evening. There is time. And then there is the opportunity to act now. Verse 19. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the fields to a place of safety, because the hail will fall on every man and they will die. Don't delay. In essence, what the Lord is saying through Moses is there is time to find a place of safety, to find salvation. God in his goodness gives time for any to find that place of safety. And some do. Verse 20. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord. Do you notice that? Who feared the word of the Lord. They believed the word of the Lord. And they hurried to bring in their slaves and livestock. That isn't the action of a bloodthirsty God. This isn't a vindictive, destroying plague. Richard Dawkins, let me say to you, have you read this? You haven't, because you're wrong. Have you seen the character of God? Here is a very big principle, though. He warns. He warns. He warns. He speaks. You laugh at him, you ignore him, but he waits. He says, one day, but it's not yet 6:45 on Monday. It's still 6:45 on Sunday. There's time. Here is the grace character of God. As sinners, we deserve judgment. That is justice. We've rebelled against God, whether you are Richard Dawkins or a child. We have rebelled against God, whether you're Pharaoh or just an ordinary common person. But God is waiting. He's withholding his judgment. That is mercy. And he is giving and he is providing. And that offer of salvation is given. And that is grace. And this is in the heart of God. What about us? We have a heart of mission that is a heart for the glory of God, a heart that knows the grace of God. We're saved by grace. We live in grace. We are kept by grace. That sustains us in our salvation, as we sang earlier, that we mess up. How useless we are, how faithless we are. But we have a God of grace that we can go back to again and again. That is, if you've received his mercy and forgiveness and that grace that is there in Christ of salvation. God's unchanging mission of grace, his unchanging character of grace, and thirdly, we've got 4 points, so we're not there yet, God's unchanging action of grace. Verse 22 must be the next day. 24 hours has passed, it is 6:45 on Monday. A whole night has been given to consider what is going on. It's really not rocket science, this, because there is an amazing pattern that you can see as you read back. We're in the seventh plague. We've had 6 so far. There have been 6 warnings, 6 threats, or 6 promises, and 6 times it has been fulfilled and it has happened. What would you do? Act now. But as has happened before, Moses stretches out his staff in front of Pharaoh, and those who are working in the fields would see in the distance in the darkening sky a storm. There'd be a rumble of thunder, there'd be lightning, there'd be rain, and then it would get cold, and it'd be so cold as the lumps of ice fell as hail from the sky. And they got bigger and bigger, and those in the field had begun to shelter under a tree, ran for lives, but many didn't make it. Verse 25 says, it beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. Not even a tree could protect you. It was terrifying. Terrifying. This was a storm that they would remember all their lives. Fields were stripped bare. Verse 31 says, the flax and the barley were destroyed. But there were 2 groups of people who survived that night in Egypt. Verse 26, the only place it did not hail. Where was that? It was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. God's people, safe. Those in Christ, safe from the judgment of God on others. Safety is found in being in the people of God. How can you be part of the people of God? By being in Christ. But there are others. There were those others who had responded to the opportunity to find safety. Verse 20 tells us that those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. They were safe as well. They found safety. Why? because they believed what God said, and they responded to find that way of salvation, which was very simple in that particular situation. Here we see God's grace in his actions. He does what he said he would do, both in sending the plague and in saving from the plague, bringing the judgment and saving from the judgment. Is God unfair, nasty, or mean to those Egyptians? Far from it. They are invited to him. In fact, when you read about the Exodus in chapter 12, you read how many other people went up with the Israelites. Who were they? Those who joined them. Those who, like these officials, believed God's words. Believed God's way of salvation. God is offering the way of safety and salvation, for he is the God of grace. Here is that invitation. And today, as the gospel is preached across the world, we thought about Asia, as it is preached in Asia in many places, the God of grace acts and human beings will receive his mercy and grace in salvation. So Muslims in Bradford, where Nathan serves, students in France, where James Hammond is, and Poles in Legionova, where Andrea and Monica, Africans via the radio and literature booklets, Amazonian River people, Jason and Andy Murphy, Peruvian street children, Sarah Clay, Filipino orphans, Brian Ellis and Aries that we saw, and many, many more. They're just examples. All grace. Always grace. It's God's purpose and plan and way in grace. Here is God's unchanging mission of grace, his unchanging character of grace, and his unchanging action of grace, which brings us last to our unchanging need of grace. Our unchanging need of grace. If you were Pharaoh, what would you do now? The fields are strewn with dead animals. The trees have been stripped bare. The slaves are in hospital with injuries. The crops are decimated. We would shout, take it away. And that is exactly what he does. Verse 27 sounds quite good, actually, when he says, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right and I and my people are in the wrong. And Moses goes out and prays. In verse 33, the thunder and the hail stopped, and Pharaoh changes his mind. The judgment stops, and Pharaoh changes his mind. What do we make of his confession? I am a sinner. I've done all this wrong, which shows it is not true. And here we see two key matters for mission. We see the grace of God in two ways. There has been here limited judgment. God's judgment, even in this plague, has been limited. Verse 32 kind of gives us a little footnote. It tells us what's happened to the crops in the field. That the flax and the barley were destroyed, since that was in bloom. But the wheat and the spelt were not destroyed because they ripened later. Isn't that grace? Isn't that amazing? God didn't simply wipe out all the crops. So there'd be no food. No, it was partial. God judged so far, but no further. And there's mercy. God knows what Pharaoh is like. He actually knows what Pharaoh is going to do. Verse 30, I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord. Here's Moses speaking. He is speaking the word of God. Each time it is the word of God that he is speaking. He's speaking what God has told him to speak. I know that you still do not fear the Lord God. But I will stop it. You haven't learnt the lesson yet, Pharaoh. This is amazing grace. He allows this to give Pharaoh yet more opportunity. And that is what the Bible is about. A God of grace who waits. A God of grace for opportunities for us and many today. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 tells us that God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why hasn't Christ returned? Because there is that grace. that patience of God's, that call to repentance, to turn, not like Pharaoh is, saying, oh, I'm a sinner, but actually truly tearing your heart before the God, for the Lord God's. That opportunity now is for you, and that opportunity is now in mission today. Here's that expectation that we spoke of this morning, of God to save. If he has not yet returned, if Christ has not yet returned, then that means he is going to save more people. We rejoice in that. That might be you. That might be countless millions across the world. But we also see here the hardness of human hearts. Pharaoh is just too typical of us and what we are like. People in trouble cry out, if God would do this, that, or the other, then I would believe. And great God graciously does those things, and the person ignores God. They just go on and live their life as they wanted to. Here we see both in that example and in Pharaoh that hard hearts require great power to be softened. There is the power of God in saving. If you're a Christian, why is it that you're a Christian? Is it because one day you simply decided that you would turn to the Lord? No, it's because he softened your heart. He showed you your sin. He led you to that cross for your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Hard hearts require great power, but there is great power. We pray for that great power. The grace of God tells us that God in his grace and mercy doesn't even ignore the pharaohs of this world. In fact, we must once see that once our hearts were as hard as his, but God graciously worked in us. As we'll sing in a moment or two, once I was blind, but now I can see. It's all of grace, God's grace to me and to you. And as we finish, what we have seen today should have a couple of effects on us. First of all, it should encourage us. A God of grace is good news to share with people. Here in the midst of powerful judgment, there is even more powerful grace. A God of grace that we see here motivates me in mission. It says, I will be involved. It says that there is hope even for this person who seems so hard that I've been witnessing to so long. It shows me that the hardest person can be saved. Richard Dawkins, no less. Do we pray for him? It gives me confidence in mission that God will do his work. And it makes me excited with mission. I look and see all that God is doing. As we thought this morning, we thought about the mustard seed and the great big plant that comes from the mustard seeds. We will be expectant. Normal means that the seed grows. We pray for people to be saved. So that encourages us, but we're also challenged. You see, here we see a God of grace who restrains judgment. But one day his full force will arrive. Here we see a God of grace who gives days and time of salvation, but one day it will be tomorrow. It will be 6:45. In our illustration, 6:45 on the Monday, 24 hours later. It happens. And that is a picture to tell us that God will at some point say, today is the day. And this challenges us to be patient with the hard-hearted, but also to see that one day his patience will run out. Verse 15 will happen. By now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. One day God is going to do that. And that is a terrifying thought. And even as I say it, I don't have enough emotion in me to really feel the power of that. That day is coming. So in light of that, and I don't just speak that to you, but I speak it to my own heart, my own life, do we see the urgency of mission? To our families, our neighbours, our friends, our work colleagues, our village or town, wherever you live, our country, and across the whole world. God is a God of grace. But one day he will be that God of judgment. Are we ready? And are we involved and expectant in the world?